Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Thursday. Let's not waste any time. Let's bring in my main man, Grant Money Mona of the Sporting Tribune. Grant, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing pretty well. It was a kind of a topsy-turvy day yesterday in Los Angeles.
100%. Listen, I mean, I think, you know, like as we go into the stretch run of the season and we're kind of like looking at the standings following the night's game, and we were all texting during the game again. Two interesting games last night. Let's start with the Lakers and the Kings, where the Lakers jump out to a nice lead in the first half. And you're thinking, hey, listen, they're at home. They're coming off of a big victory against the Thunder. Like, this is a game that they should find a way to win. And then, again, a tale of two halves, where the Sacramento Kings come back. Old friend Malik Monk goes for 26 points, 10 and 19 from the field. De'Aaron Fox, 44 points. My goodness. And then the Kings defeat the Lakers 130 to 120. Your thoughts on that game? Again, and what that means in the big picture for the Lakers?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously any game where you're playing a team that's ahead of you and they're motivated, right? And the Lakers, I mean, they got off to an amazingly hot start. I think they were up by 19 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
This looked like a game that the Lakers wanted and needed to win. I'm not going to say they needed to win this game, but, you know, like I said, when you're playing a team that might be in the play-in with you, you got to take these pretty seriously. And after that first quarter, we saw kind of the tendencies, Arash, that we saw back when they lost to the Nets in January, back when they, you know, blew some of these games where they had big leads. And that's not a great tendency to have against the team that in the Kings, we know how good the Kings play against the Lakers, right? Yeah. And especially on a night when the Warriors won as well, they beat the Bucks in convincing fashion. Yeah. So now the Warriors are the 9 seed. So if this holds up, and I know it's going to flip flop here back and forth. If it holds up, the Lakers will be the 10 seed playing the Warriors in an elimination game in San Francisco. So every game from here on out is crucial. You're not going to fall out of the play-in. I think we all know that. The 10 seeds, I think 5 games up on the 11 seed. So it's not going to happen there. But in terms of how crucial this game was, I was just waiting for the Lakers to come back and kind of put it on the Kings after the Kings made their run. And I just never saw it. And Anthony Davis, I don't know what it was. He just seemed lethargic. He was not in the paint a lot. Sabonis was actually taking it to him down in the paint a lot. And I was just very surprised by that because we all know the kind of player that Anthony Davis is, and we all know how good he is on the defensive end. The Kings, after that 19 point that the Lakers had, they just looked like they were in control the rest of the way. They went on a 21-2 run, Arash.
Yeah.
That's something that the Lakers cannot have. And they were off on their three-pointers again. D'Angelo Russell had an off game. LeBron, he was up and down. Anthony Davis, like I said, didn't have that great of a game. If you're going to be playing this Kings team in a play-in scenario, they are a quick team. They're athletic. Yeah. They love to get up and down the floor. Yes, they can't play defense, but they are a team that has given the Lakers problems. So am I surprised that it was a Kings victory? Not really, but it's just the way that the Lakers lost, I think, Arash. It gives me kind of flashbacks to when, you know, we were around the trade deadline and maybe a little bit before that, where we were asking ourselves, can this Lakers team turn it around? Can they overcome these blown leads? And I know it's only one loss, but it's just the way they lost it, which kind of hurts a little bit.
I mean, I think that's the biggest thing, is that when I try to draw comparisons to this run with the Lakers, the last season where, you know, coming off the All-Star break in Utah, LeBron basically said, like, every game is a playoff game. And again, they have shown that at times. You know, when you go to that game against the Thunder, it seemed like that team had urgency. You go to the first half, certainly the first quarter against the Sacramento Kings, it seems like this team realizes the position they are in right now. The big difference between a year ago is that they're not just trying to, you know, fight to get into the play-in tournament. It did seem like these guys were trying to fight to avoid the play-in tournament, you know, to try to be that sixth seed at the very least. But in a couple of the players have said this, and it kind of drew headlines. We're like, we don't care what seed we are. That's fine. But to your point, you know, if you're the 10 seed and now you got to go on the road, and let's talk about this for a second. And again, this goes to like how crazy the league is. What the Warriors did to the Milwaukee Bucks. And again, I know that they didn't have their, you know, full roster, but this was a Bucks team that just beat the Clippers. It's hard to get a handle on what's happening with the league. I mean, how good do you think this Warriors team is? I mean, like, what they did to Milwaukee last night, I think, is pretty impressive, obviously.
Arash, a lot of the things that I'm seeing from this Warriors team is a lot of the things that I saw from them in that 22 run when they won the championship. I'm not saying that they're that type of team, but they got healthy. Andrew Wiggins is back with the team. Gary Payton II is back with the team. Chris Paul is now back into the bench unit. They just got a lot of guys back. And when you have a fully healthy roster, especially when you have Steph Curry healthy and Draymond Green back in the equation, ever since Draymond Green came back, you're going to do well. And this team, I know that there's been a lot of questions about their age and, you know, why would you bring Chris Paul in? But ever since they, you know, delegated him to the bench and he's come back, they haven't missed a stride. I think they've won 14 or of their last 17, something ridiculous. They've won a lot of games here recently. And for them, I know that they're in the 9 seed and people will look at that and be like, okay, well, they don't have a chance to win a title. I said this about the Chiefs and Mahomes. If you give them a chance, if you give the Warriors any type of chance, if they are in a play-in scenario, the 6 through 10 seed, I don't care where they are.
Yeah.
I kind of like their chances to either make a run or upset somebody just because of the power that Steph Curry has on the basketball court. So to see them playing like this, is it a surprise? A little bit. But it's also not a surprise because they're finally healthy. They're playing better defense since Draymond Green came back, and Steph Curry is healthy. So, you know, Chris Paul, a lot of the talk about the Warriors has been about Chris Paul. Why did they get him? Why did they bring him? How does he fit in? Chris Paul, even before his fractured hand, he was a part of the Warriors' best lineups, plus minus rating wise. So you bring him back in, and I always thought that it could work if you just use him as a facilitator. And honestly, that's what he is. Yeah. And if you use him as a only facilitator, he's not the prime guy he was before. You could have success, and they are right now. They're not even, and the thing at Rosh is they're not beating the Pistons and the Hawks and the Spurs. They're beating the Bucks, and then, you know, they took the Clippers. I know the Clippers came back and barely won, but they're hanging in there with some really good teams. So this is another sleeper contender. The Lakers and the Warriors, I think, are both sleeper contenders. I know the Lakers had a bad loss, but I still believe that those two teams, if they can stay healthy in April, I mean, they can make a run. I don't see why they can't.
All right, let's switch gears to the Clippers. Again, I mean, this looked like it could be another bad loss for the Clippers. They're down by, I think, 20 in the first half. And then this was a big moment where, again, they have not closed out games well. Not only that, the fourth quarter in particular, you know, blowing a 21-point lead to the Lakers in the fourth quarter, blowing a close to 20-point lead to Milwaukee in the fourth quarter. This was a game where they were down by 20, came back. What did you like about this one? Again, forget about the standings. Houston has been a very good team, certainly at home, and certainly when they go up against teams that are greater than them. Again, like they've this will be a team to watch out for in the future. But what did you like about this win for the Clippers?
Yeah, I just think that Arashid showed that not only can they still win games, but they can win it in crunch time, right? In the fourth quarter, they were down for a majority of the fourth quarter, something that they were in previous games, like you mentioned against the Bucks and like you mentioned against the Lakers, that they couldn't come back from. This time they did. And I know that it's the Rockets, but the Rockets have been a pretty sound defensive team this year. They're great at home, like you mentioned. So, you know, you're going to look at the standings and say, oh, well, they're the 12 seed. I'm not really taking that into account because I kind of like what the Rockets have going, and they have Alperen Şengün, who put up 45 on Victor Wembanyama. So they have talent there. The Clippers, I mean, Kawhi Leonard in the fourth quarter, this is the exact reason why Arash, you extend him for three more years.
Yeah.
Is because you have that 1A guy. You have that top end talent that when it gets down to it in the fourth quarter, I don't care if it's regular season or postseason, you can give it to him and let him cook. And he was 11 of 18 on the night. He had 28 points. Paul George had a very bad two or three quarters, but even Paul George in the fourth quarter came back. A great fourth quarter, a huge offensive rebound, great defense, a couple huge corner threes. It was just kind of a total team effort that I saw from the team in December and January, even before the trading deadline when they beat the Warriors by 1 point and they came back. That was the type of fight that I was used to seeing from the Clippers that I just didn't see in games past. So now it's very encouraging, yes, but it's all kind of concerning because they were down by 20 to the Rockets. They were still slow getting into their sets. They still looked a little bit off defensively. They locked in at the end, but through three quarters, it didn't look very pretty. You know, Ivica Zubac, they didn't even start him, Arash, in the second half. That's how bad it was. And, you know, Ty Lue mentioned that it was, you know, he had some breathing issues and some headaches. Maybe he was sick, but they started Mason Plumlee in the second half, and he did a very admirable job. That's why you have three centers on your roster, so you can kind of flex guys in and out. Terrence Mann had 15. They had a lot of guys contribute to this one in a balanced fashion. But down the stretch is where I was most encouraged by, because like you mentioned, against the Bucks and Lakers, they didn't have any presence down the stretch. So it's pretty cool to see that.
What's the matchup that I guess we're most looking forward to during the stretch run? Because I think you're right. There's not much drama in terms of who's going to be in the play-in tournament. I think there's, again, a big gap there, a 5 to 6 games gap in terms of the 10 seed to the 11. So, you know, I don't think Utah or Houston will sneak in. So you kind of have that group of, and, you know, it's sort of, it's the, I'll just tell you where it is right now. You got the Sacramento Kings at 7, Dallas Mavericks 8, Warriors 9, Lakers 10. But then you go up there. It's the Clippers at the 4 seed right now. They're 2.5 games behind the 1 seed. And then you have another gap there where I guess for that play-in tournament / 5-6 seed, it's New Orleans, Phoenix, Sacramento, Dallas, Golden State, Lakers. Who do you think will get that 5-6 seed? Again, right now it's the matchup that you hate. Right now we got a 4-5 yeah. matchup with the Clippers and the Pelicans. Who do you think at the end of the day, again, 4 games separate the 5 seed from the 10 seed. So, I mean, a lot could change here.
Yeah, I think that Phoenix just has the top end talent to get to the 5 seed. I think that's kind of what their ceiling is right now.
Yeah.
And I just like the fact that even without Devin Booker, Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal went into Denver and beat the Nuggets. That's very hard to do.
Yeah.
So that just shows you what kind of team they have. I know their depth is pretty lacking, but I like Phoenix at the 5. I think they'll end up as the 5 seed. They were the 4 seed last year. New Orleans, look, for all we've talked about Zion and how we talked about how they've been injured a lot, he's been relatively healthy. They've been relatively healthy. And when they're healthy, they have as much depth as anyone in the Western Conference. So I think they'll be the 6th seed. In terms of the 7-10, I think it may stay this way. If anything, it may be Dallas at 7, Sacramento at 8. But Luka and the Dallas Mavericks, they have not been playing great defense. I think they have a 127 defensive rating in the past 5-10 games, which is really bad. They're on a 3-game losing streak. Ever since they went on a winning streak, they've kind of fell back to earth. So that 7-8 may fluctuate. I can see the Lakers and Warriors getting into the 7-8 range. I really can. And I think that with the talent that they have as well, they probably could. I just need to see it a little bit more. I know we don't have much time left, but I need to see a little bit more of a stretch, maybe a 5-game sample size after this Lakers home stretch where I think they have six-game homestand. After that, I can kind of reevaluate it because they play some really good teams, Arash. So I think this 7-10 will stay the same, but again, it'll probably fluctuate. Like you said, everyone will flip-flop here and there.
The game that'll do the biggest TV number, and again, I'm not going out on a limb here, and this was the case a year ago, prior to the finals, of course, it's going to be the Lakers and the Warriors. And I know the league, is not going to say that they are going to try to maneuver things. But I mean, listen, when the Lakers play the Warriors, that just does massive numbers. You got Steph and Klay and Draymond versus LeBron and AD. So it's that number, that game in particular is going to do a massive number. I would love it though if both of these teams are in the postseason. And and I felt this a year ago, not just because of the way the Lakers beat the Warriors, but a lot of the comments post series where it felt like that was the end of the line for them. And I'm not saying it is because, again, they're right now, like they're, above the Lakers in the standings. They're in the play-in tournament. They have the ability to maybe go on a run here. What is the ceiling for this Warriors team again? Because they do occasionally have a game like they did last night where they blow off the Milwaukee Bucks, the 2 seed in the East by 35 points. And you're like, wait, hold up. This team can, this team can do something. How far, the Warriors, it wouldn't surprise me one way or the other, whether they get bounced in round one or whether they go to the Western Conference Finals. Again, I think both of us would be surprised if it's not Boston and Denver in the finals, but it would be an amazing accomplishment for the Warriors after what happened to them a year ago, the way that they played for the majority of the season. I mean, if they go on a run here and get to the conference finals, what do you think the ceiling is for the Golden State Warriors?
I say this a lot, and it's that every year there is this one team that's underrated that upsets somebody or gets to a finals or a conference finals. Last year was the Heat. They were the 8th seed and upset everybody and got to the finals. In 22, it was kind of the Warriors. They were a 4 seed, but the Mavericks got to the conference finals. I think that, the Warriors have the talent to get to a conference final. I just think that their size is a little bit lacking. They are older, so they could tire out a lot more. So I think first or second round is probably their best bet. I don't think they have the ability to get to a finals, especially with Denver in that conference. And a lot of the size issues that I see with New Orleans and Minnesota, if they face them, or even the Lakers when they face them in a play-in, if that gets to that, I just don't see them, you know, getting that far. But if you have a guy, a transcendent kind of player like Steph Curry, who can flip a game, and you have everyone healthy, like I said, Andrew Wiggins is a great perimeter defender. Draymond Green's a great defender. They can upset somebody. And now I'm not going to say that they will, but they have that ability to do so. So I can see them getting a first round win. And maybe if they play the Kings, I don't know how that'll work out. If they, you know, get a 4-5 matchup, a 5-6, a 3. I mean, there's so many scenarios right now to where the Warriors can be anywhere from 10 to 6. And I'd still probably maybe have them as a favorite against some of these teams just because of the power of Steph Curry. So, right now it's fluid, but they can upset somebody in the first round and maybe get to a second round or a conference final if everything lines up right.
And it's a word that you love to use, and I've begun to use it too. It's the moxie that they have. Again, they've been there before. You know, when your core group has won championships together and you're in a tough playoff series, you know, we saw, you know, Sacramento beat the Lakers in Los Angeles in a regular season game. It's different in the postseason. And so I remember that series a year ago where it's game seven. And yes, that game seven was in Sacramento. But I always believe this, and I felt this about the Chiefs, you know, when they had to go on the road to Buffalo or to Baltimore. And I'm like, just give me Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and that team. Like, they've been there before. And so, again, it didn't transfer over to the Lakers. But, again, you're going up against LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They've won a title together. When you're going up against a younger team that's not been in that spot before – and yes, they may be playing at home, it's different when you're playing a game seven. What do you think that can do, though, for this team? Again, the last point before we head to a break. I mean, the fact that they've done it before, I still like, no, you know, it's cliche, but nobody wants to play the Warriors, right? Like, come playoff time, no one wants to play the Warriors.
You're exactly right. And I was just thinking about these matchups. Like, if they play an inexperienced Thunder team, 2-7, or a 1-8, I think I'm going to take the Warriors in that series. Yeah. And it's not just because of Steph Curry. It's just because of the matchup, right? The Thunder, this would be their first playoff series together. The Timberwolves, they haven't won a playoff series. So you're right. Some of these teams are just built for the playoffs. The Lakers are the same way, in my opinion. Yeah. They're kind of just built for the playoffs. They're a team that when they get in, they are scary. But right now, obviously, it's middling. The same thing with the Warriors. If they get in, they have that moxie, that vet experience, that toughness to where I can take them against a younger team.
You know what? It can go one of two ways. I mean, it's like, oh my God, we've had this amazing season. Our reward is to play Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Steve Kerr, this team that's won it. Or on the flip side, I mean, if you beat that team, that gives you so much confidence. But I agree with you. I mean, I will always, generally speaking, put my money on the team that's been there before and done it. Certainly, if you get to a game seven, all right, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we had the Dodgers play the Angels. Mike Trout versus Shohei Ohtani. We'll talk about that when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 of Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, If you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right. Speaking of Vegas, and I wanted to get both of your thoughts on this as two folks who, you know, like to frequent Vegas as well as I do. The Oakland A's released new renderings for their stadium on the Las Vegas Strip. Their first ones were panned. That's why I'm assuming they released new ones. This one has been universally panned. It bears a striking resemblance to the Sydney Opera House. If you look closely and just kind of like, you know, compare it to other stadiums around the league, there's no lighting there. You know, obviously we knew the attendance would be low in terms of the capacity. It's about 30,000 seats, which is, by the way, fine. I mean, I do think that is the trend a lot of teams are going in. You know, I mean, just take a look at the number that you normally get. What's the average? I mean, we don't need 50,000 seat baseball stadiums. That being said, Grant, you played the game. And a lot of folks kind of nitpicked the stadium. Just as someone who's kind of like, you know, take a look at it again. They were originally going for a retractable roof. That is not going to be the case, although it'll be some kind of a see-through, obviously not glass, but I mean, you know, some kind of see-through material where it'll be enclosed, obviously, because it has to be in the summer in Las Vegas. But generally, Grant, your thoughts on the stadium and what it will look like?
Build it now. Build it right now. I want to see it right now.
By the way, it looks fantastic. The Tropicana is going to get torn. Oh, not torn down. It will close for good at the end of March. So at the end of this month. So folks, if you're going out there for March Madness, swing by the Trop, get one last drink, or you know, place one last bet there at the Trop, because it will be closing down now. It will not be torn down next month, but they will close it for good, and that will be the location. Okay, but do you your thoughts on how it looks, though?
It looks fantastic, and that's why I said build it now.
Nice,
it looks awesome. It looked, like you said, it looks like a Sydney Opera House. I mean, it looks amazing. And I think it's enclosed. It looks like it is. I thought it was open air, but yeah, there's windows kind of like, SoFi Stadium, but I wish SoFi Stadium had windows on the sides. I digress. The stadium looks fantastic. They have like a curved video board, which looks awesome. Look, I'm all for any new arenas. That's why I'm so hyped for the Intuit Dome. That's why I'm pretty hyped about what the Tampa Bay Rays have going in St. Petersburg. These new concepts look awesome. And I just think, I know it probably doesn't look like it fits Las Vegas. Like, you'd probably see this by a waterfront or, you know, in a suburb somewhere, but just the look of it and it being in a central location. I just think it's going to be great. And, you know, people, like you said, people are going to complain about the seating capacity and all stuff, but to have a ballpark like that in a central location in Vegas, man, that's why I said I want them to build it now. I need this thing in my life. I need to go visit it because it looks stunning. It allows you to see the strip. I think the window, the largest window that outlooks behind center field would look into the strip, which is actually really awesome. And just the aesthetics of it. I love this kind of open design, but also having it closed because obviously Vegas has a lot of different types of weather out there, as we all know. But yeah, I think it's awesome. I hope it comes to fruition because I think it would be an awesome addition to the ever-changing Vegas sports landscape, which I think is one of the best already in the world. So,
GA, a lot of locals in Vegas have complained about the location again. I think that they would like to go see the new team play, but it's a little bit like if you were to build a ballpark like right in the heart of Times Square. I mean, this resort corridor, which effectively they would be building the new ballpark where the Tropicana sits. So, I mean, it's right in the heart of the strip, really. A lot of locals that I've talked to have really kind of complained about that. I mean, they're not saying to build the ballpark in Summerlin or Henderson, but they are saying like, man, like right in the heart of the strip. Like, I mean, where are we going to park? I mean, your thoughts on the location of this potential new stadium? if we lost
with any located.
I think we we'll get back to GA in a bit. But Grant, I mean, I think the issue is the resort corridor is very crowded. Now, I do know that teams like that side of the strip. You got T-Mobile Arena, you got Allegiant Stadium. However, like, they're not built right in the heart of the strip. I think that's been the number one complaint from a lot of locals. Again, they don't love John Fisher. They don't like what they've done in terms of you know, kind of fast tracking the bill to get public money. But the location is nice in terms of the window, in terms of seeing the strip. But what are your thoughts on it? Basically, again, the Tropicana is a dump, so I mean, I have no problem with that going away. But your thoughts on it being right in the heart of the strip?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's a great concept, but I think, like you said, locals will probably not like it. I mean, a lot of the locals, I from what I saw, didn't really like the F1 thing being in the middle of everything and everyone telling everyone to stay away from the strip. And obviously locals know to stay away from the strip as much as possible. But I think it's a great location. I mean, you already have the T-Mobile Arena down there. Yeah. You have Allegiant Stadium down there. You know, you're not going to put it at Lake Las Vegas. That just wouldn't make any sense. So you got to put it kind of centrally located, right? Yeah. So, it may cause some issues traffic wise, but I think the more things you can get on the strip, and I don't want to clutter it, but the things you can get on the outer sides of the strip, I think the better, because like you've mentioned, Arash, you've written plenty of articles about this and you've spoken about it. There are some parts of the strip that are just barren. They're desolate. Yeah. People don't go there just because there's not much to do down there. So if you put more things at the ends of the strip, it just extends the ability for it to be a walkable strip. It gives you more things to do when you're walking to that part. It gives you more things to do when you go outside of the main strip. So I love it. I'm curious to see how they maneuver it, because obviously there's only so much space you can work with. And with such a lavish ballpark, you kind of have to cut corners here and there. So they did a great job with Allegiant Stadium, including the bridge and having everything go underground and stuff like that, and connecting it to the Mandalay Bay. And with the T-Mobile Arena too, I know it's kind of crowded in that area too, but they've done a good job so far. So I got to give them credit there. I'm just curious to see how they maneuver it.
Gee, your thoughts on it really being in the heart of the strip there?
Yeah, I think, to be honest with you, and I think Vegas is, specifically the strip, is very privy to this. They don't care about the locals. They're caring about that outside money.
True.
Like, yeah. Let's get real. Like, you know, if you're a local that lives in Henderson or lives in Summerlin or lives, you know, in Northern Vegas, et cetera, like all of the downtown, they're not caring about your money. They're caring about, you know, the dude from Dubai that came out was like, I'm going to go, or the guy from China that's like, hey, I want to go to a baseball game. That sounds awesome. You know, like, let me get a suite. But that's the money that they care about. It's the same at Allegiant Stadium. You know, like those suite seats were going for like millions of dollars. It wasn't like, it's not something that Joe Schmo in Vegas is able to afford. So yeah. I don't think that this is going to be, you know, it's not going to be local friendly. It's not meant to be. Just, you know, I love it. I think it's great. I think it's great for tourism. It's obviously the reason why you have very low taxes in Vegas and specifically Nevada, you know, because of that casino money, because of that stadium money, et cetera. So I think this come to Vegas and this is going to be their one long weekend that they circle, right? And same thing with people going to Allegiant Stadium. Like this is, you know, if you're from Green Bay and you're coming to Vegas, this is the one weekend you circle.
Yeah, I mean, listen, exactly. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, certainly when the Raiders moved to Vegas, and I think this has been worse than they thought originally in terms of the number of opposing fans. I mean, I don't think that they thought it would reach Charger level, but it really has. It's the most expensive ticket in the league. if you're an opposing fan and you're circling one game on the schedule to go on that road trip, you're going to go to Vegas. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. It's not even close. And it really kind of was bad a year ago when they faced teams that travel well. Again, a year ago, you know, they had Pittsburgh, they had Green Bay, and within their division, they had Kansas City. And it's like, when they played those teams, it was all opposing fans. Grant, it's a little bit, not a little bit, it's a lot different for baseball, unless you're talking about, you know, getting a weekend series against the Dodgers or a weekend series against the Yankees or whatever, where you really kind of try to, you know, bring in that fan base that gets in maybe on a Friday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, kind of get them for the weekend. But if, once again, you're talking about catering to the opposing fans, how do you think that will go?
Yeah, I'm very curious to see the dynamic when this happens. Just because, like you mentioned, if you get the Dodgers coming in, if you get the Yankees coming in, you're going to have a lot of things go right for you, right? You're going to have a lot of people there. Look, even when the Dodgers play the Yankees, you have a lot of people that go, a lot of Yankee fans that go. So, you know, you're going to get fans when the bigger teams come. I'm curious to see how you get fans when you're playing a team that doesn't get a lot. The Reds, what if it's A's Reds? What if it's A's Mariners? And Mariner fans travel pretty well. But I think the draw that they will get a lot is that it's Vegas, right? People come to Vegas all the time, whether there's a baseball game or not. So if you can go see your favorite team play and also stay the weekend in Vegas, that's going to be a plus for the A's when teams come in play. So people don't really take that into account, is that, yes, they're probably not going to gain, you know, garner a lot of fans locally to begin, but you're going to get a lot of fans traveling just because it's Las Vegas. I mean, people go to Vegas for bachelor parties. People go to Vegas for bachelorette parties, for weddings, for just to go. So you're going to get some fans and get some money coming in that way. I'm just very curious to see how the crowds will look when the A's get everything going. And especially when you're playing teams that are bottom of the barrel. Look, this A's team, I mean, they're not going to be competitive for a few years at least anyways, in my opinion. They have some good pieces here and there, but I'm just very curious to see how they fill that stadium when there's not a marquee matchup. I think they'll do better than a Tampa Bay Rays, than a Miami Marlins and stuff like that. But it still will be a little bit difficult because you can't get half 75% of your fans from tourism, right? You got to have some kind of local base.
That is why I don't mind the capacity. Again, 33,000 or whatever that number is. I'm not saying it's going to be sold out, but it'll be much easier to sell out or come close to selling out a 33,000 seat ballpark than if it's, you know, 50 or 60,000. Again, majority of the ballparks are not that big, but I know that there's going to be a lot of people in Los Angeles who be like, oh my God, 33,000. Like, it makes sense for Vegas and it makes sense for that particular team. We had the Dodgers and the Angels play each other in the spring training. And again, I don't normally get into spring training baseball, Grant, but like, listen, like game time, Shohei Ohtani takes the field. And I think, you know, it was a sweet moment pregame when Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani embraced. And, you know, we people made that joke during World Baseball Classic. Like, man, Shohei Ohtani against Mike Trout. Can you imagine if those guys were on the same team? And it's like, yeah, well, yeah, of course they were for a long time, but they didn't do anything. Again, it's spring training ball, but Grant, did you get to watch it that game? Your thoughts on, again, as we gear up towards, but by the way, at least the Dodgers are going to begin the season a little bit early in Seoul, South Korea against the Padres, but did you get a chance to see Shohei and Mike Trout?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, it's really crazy to just see Shohei in a Dodger uniform every time I see him. But in terms of the Angels actually played a very good baseball game. They didn't allow a single run to the Dodgers. That whole game, that was a few games ago. They actually shut out the Dodgers 4-0, but, the Dodgers are 10-3 this spring. It's always, I don't want to chalk it up to Lakers Clippers because that's a whole different thing, but Angels and Dodger games and Angel and Dodger fans do not like each other at all. I can tell you that right now. I don't know what it is because there's really no playoff matchups. There's no World Series matchups. There's no like heated games down the stretch. It's all just territorial. And I think that's really cool. Honestly, I think it's cool to have two different kind of areas, because you have the Orange County base and you have the LA base, and obviously Dodger fans are very rowdy. But even in spring training, these teams were lining it up and playing like it was a USC-UCLA rivalry game. Or yeah. Like, it was actually pretty cool to see that. In terms of both of these teams, obviously they're on different levels in terms of what they're trying to do right now. But from what I've seen from the Angels, I actually like some of the things that they're doing. I like some of their players. If you look at the roster, you'll see a few names that you recognize, but it's nothing, you know, in totality that'll get them to a World Series directly soon. And the Dodgers, obviously, they are firing on every cylinder possible. I know Yoshinobu Yamamoto didn't have a great outing, his last outing, but against the Angels and this last one against the White Sox, the offense looks amazing. And I know that we're saying this now in March, but yeah, it's going to be crazy. This LA Dodgers and Anaheim, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, whatever you want to call it, rivalry, it's still going to be great every time.
G-Hey.
I actually, you mentioned, Arash, earlier, you mentioned the Korea game that will be two games in the end of this month. I was wondering, because one of those games, or if not both of those games, correct me if I'm wrong, is at 3 in the morning.
They are. Yeah. Locally in Pacific time, that's right.
So Pacific time, 3 a.m., obviously Eastern time, 6 a.m.
So here's the thing. 3 o'clock at both of you. Yeah, well, I mean, I'll let Grant go now. I mean, this is why 3 a.m. is so tough. So in Hawaii, it's midnight. I'll stay up till midnight. Now, will I stay up for the entire game? Maybe. But it's one of those situations where 90% of the time, Grant, I mean, and having lived back east, and GA can kind of chime in on this, I do think Los Angeles, or at least the Pacific time zone, is one of the best in terms of sports viewing. Because, you know, the 7:30 tip-off is 7:30. It's not, you know, 10:30. Now, Hawaii, which, you know, we're blessed to be on, that's perfect. Now, you could argue during the football season, if you're not a morning person, a 7 a.m. kickoff on a Sunday, Jihei is not going to wake up for that one. Grant,
dude, 10 a.m. is hard for me. 6 a.m.
Okay, so, Grant, 3 a.m. I mean, come on. I mean, a part of me wants, but 3 a.m., I mean, that is literally middle of the night. It's not that's going to be brutal, brother.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why they did it, because they're catering to the Korean, you know, demographic. But for such an awesome matchup, I just wish it was a 5 p.m. prime time game. Yeah. Like, I just wish it was. Will I be watching? I probably will. I'm not going to say 100%. I'm not going to throw that out there, just because I love baseball. And every time you have an event like opening night, or when you get two matchups like this, and especially an event in Korea, I'm probably going to get up for it, and the players will too. I'm not going to throw it out there that it's 100% certainty, but I would have loved to see this at a 5 p.m. or a 7 p.m., even 4:30. I'll take that too for a game of this magnitude.
Wait, GA, did you prefer it on the East Coast, where like the first game on a Sunday is a 1 p.m. kickoff? I mean, I guess it depends on what your sport is. The only thing is, when I was watching the Lakers when I lived in New York, I mean, those 10:30 tips were just brutal. What did you prefer?
Here's the thing. Everybody knows this. I'm not a morning person. It's what it is. I like anything in the AM. I
right
hate
there
it.
With you.
So that being said, when I lived in New York, when I lived in the city, I loved it. I loved being able to wake up at like, and having a Sunday Funday, which by the way, didn't exist back in the day when I lived in New York. None of them knew what Sunday Funday was. So, but I want to say I partially am the reason why I brought Sunday Funday to New York. I would wake up, but like I get my coffee.
Oh, GA's reception today. You know, I mean, it's one of the things. She's right by the beach. There we go, GA. Sorry, real quick. You're by the beautiful Hermosa Beach, okay. But the reception's not the. Yeah, you are back. real quick before we close out today. I don't know if
I actually was there the day after Christmas for my birthday, and I would be able to eat and drink and watch football until 1 in the morning. It was glorious. I would take that hands down over.
Yeah, I had a feeling Jihei would have preferred the East Coast, where, you know, the first game kicks off at 1 p.m. I just give me Pacific time zone. I think it's the best.
Me too.
All right. When we're going to close out today, but when we're back tomorrow, we're going to get conference basketball and all March Madness thick of things. All right. Let's leave it there for now. But, man, I am so pumped for March Madness. All right. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe, stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing, currency chasing.
Worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces. Shed tears as we bury brothers close to heart. I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.